my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, well, I am excited to continue in our series entitled My Best Friend, the Holy Spirit. My Best Friend, the Holy Spirit. And we said that the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher and the bestest friend you will ever have. Amen. And so we are in part three, and I have been going line upon line and basically explaining to you. Last Sunday, we taught out of John 14 and 15 for the most part, and we talked about this conversation that Jesus was having with his disciples. He was telling them that I'm leaving, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. He not only is he going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. And he begins to tell them, hey, it is to your advantage that I leave, because if I do not leave, the comforter or the helper, depends on if you're reading KJV or NKJV, New King James Version, it just changes a few words, but it does not contaminate the word. It still has the exact same Greek or Hebrew meaning. And so so he says that it's to your advantage that I go, because if I don't go, he will not come. And so we've been answering questions as it relates to Holy Spirit. We've been answering questions as it relates to Holy Spirit. And the first question we asked on last Sunday is, who is he? Who is he? And we learned that he is our helper, he is our friend, and he is our God. We actually learned that he is God. He is part of the Godhead, the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we begin to learn that, and that was really good, how we need to cultivate a relationship with him where he leads us and he guides us and he helps us and those kind of things. And then on Tuesday night, man, I had to just stop teaching on Tuesday night. That's how good it was. So if you weren't here, no problem. Just go and listen to it. And we asked the question, is he a person? Is he a person? And we said that we will never, and the reason we have to ask, is he a person? Because you can only develop a personal relationship with a person. You can't develop a personal relationship with the tree. Isn't that right? Because we said that, you know, is he a person? We said, well, what makes a person? Some, you know, and someone said life. Well, a tree has life, but a tree's not a person. And so we went in and we began to learn that he has a mind, he has a will, he has emotions, and we talked about that. So today, I thought that it would be real fun to give you a real interesting topic and ask you a real fun question. And the question today, so we asked, who is he? We asked, is he a person? So today, we're going to ask the question, is he Pentecostal? Yes, indeed. Is he Pentecostal? Praise the Lord. I mean, because after all, we know John was a Baptist, right? I'm just joking, y'all. Y'all are like, I don't know if I should laugh or should agree. I really don't know, Pastor. All right. And so we're going to ask that question on today. And so I actually grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I thank God for my upbringing. And I want to talk to you about that today, because I want to make sure that you have the real definition of Pentecostal and really what Pentecost is. There is a cultural definition of Pentecost, and I'm quite sure it's not the biblical definition, because it has a lot to do with legalism and those kind of things. We'll talk a little bit about that. There is a historical definition of Pentecostal. There is even a denominational definition of Pentecostal. And so when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit and if he's Pentecostal, if you think, I mean, does he not want women to wear pants? And do women have to wear their hair in a bun, which, you know, that could be considered bondage, or if it's just a joke, you know, or if, you know, women can't wear makeup, and I personally love makeup. I mean, not for myself, but I think makeup is good. You got it. So this is not really coming off to a good start. But anyways, if that's your definition of Pentecostal, then in my opinion, no, he's not Pentecostal. If that's your definition, okay? But if you mean by Pentecostal, do I believe in the work and the person of the Holy Spirit? Do I believe that Acts 2 is the fulfillment of the feast of Pentecost? Do I believe in all the fruits and all the gifts? And do I believe that it is so vitally important that we cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit so he can lead us and guide us into all truth? If that is what you're asking, then yes, I'll say he's Pentecostal. Does that make sense? So, and then I don't know, we might ask the next question, is he charismatic? But let's just take one question at a time. So I think that, you know, it's a great question, but really I have three sub-questions for today because I really want to make sure you have an understanding of this. And the first question is, what is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? And so go with me to Acts 2 and 1. I'm not going to start reading it just yet, but you guys can go there and then I'll be there in a few minutes. I want to explain a few things to you. When we begin to talk about Pentecost, Pentecost is one of three major feasts that the children of Israel celebrated. There were actually seven total feasts, and I'm not going to get real deep in it, but I just want to kind of give you an overview. And so there was actually seven feasts. There was the Feast of Passover, which along with the Feast of Passover, there was a Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruit, okay? And then there was the Feast of Pentecost, and it was all by itself, all right? And then there was the Feast of Tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacle included the Feast of Tabernacle, Feast of Trumpets, and the Day of Atonement. And so they would come to Israel three times a year to celebrate on the first, the third, and the seventh month, all right? Passover, they were celebrating the spirit of death that passed over the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, and they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. It's so awesome because the fulfillment of Passover has already taken place because Jesus has come, died, shed his blood, you got it, and Passover is now fulfilled, amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he came, died, and shed his blood, all right? And then there is the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to talk to you just a tiny bit about that in the end. I'm telling you, I'm not going to go over it a lot, but that has to do with the trumpets and the Day of Atonement, and we already know through Scripture that that will be fulfilled when Jesus comes back, all right? And so we know that there's the trumpets are going to sound last trump sounds, the dead in Christ shall arise first. Some of you all know that Scripture. We'll talk about it a little bit at the end because I'm going to show you that that will be fulfilled. But let's talk about Pentecost. There are depending on how you were raised, and I'm not knocking that. I know some people that were raised, and they're like, man, I grew up Pentecostal. I grew up Holiness. I get it. There are other people like, I didn't either. I grew up Baptist or something like, you know, Presbyterian, Methodist, and, you know, and they really frown on just the word Pentecost. Like, if you said the word Pentecost, you know, it was like saying Mufasa. You got it? And so, but let me help you with that before I get into it. Did I say it right, Mufasa? Yeah, because see, my daughter and I, we have like this ongoing joke where I don't say it the right way. And so she would say to me, Dad, I was like, what? She's like, Mufasa. And I was like, woo. So I say, Hannah. She's like, yeah. I say, Mustafa. She's like, that's not right. But then I said it long enough for her to start saying, ooh. So anyways, but Pentecost was the celebration of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, 50 days after the Passover, okay? Pentecost, got it? Pentecost just means 50. Ooh. Penta means five. Think about it, Pentagon. We know what the Pentagon is, right? You got it? It just means five-sided. Penta means five. Degon means sided. It's five-sided. Penta means five. Cost means to the tenth power. It just means 50. And so people get all bent out of shape over 50. All right? So many people have a negative connotation of Pentecost, and all it really means is 50. 50 days after the Passover, the Holy Spirit, the cloud, the fire, you know, the cloud by day, the fire by night, came down to Mount Sinai. Moses was there. He gave him the law. And that is what it represented. So Pentecost in the book of Acts was the fulfillment of that feast of Pentecost. And so that's all it is. Acts, the second chapter and the first verse. Let's see if we can't dive into it and get some good information. Are y'all ready to learn today? Good. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now watch verse 3, because I want to share some things with you about this. It says, then there appeared to them, what's that next word, class? Divided. Now if you're reading King James Version, it might say cloven, all right? Cloven and divided, they mean the exact same thing. So even though you might read the New King James Version and it says divided, and you might read King James Version and it says cloven, it is not contaminating the word. They still mean the same thing in the Greek. And so the word divided simply means individual. You could take the word out, take the word divided out and put individual. Then there appeared unto them individual tongues or divided tongues or cloven tongues. Now, people, you know, sometimes ask about that word divided. And so let me kind of break it down, because divided is not always a bad thing. If I told you that I was going to have, who's the big armored truck company that comes with all the money? Brinks? Is that one of them? Okay, so if I told you that tomorrow or Tuesday night to the first people that got here 3 minutes before service, you got it, that I, you see how I kind of threw that in there, that I am going to have the Brinks guy come, you got it, and he is going to bring $100,000, and however many of us are here 3 minutes before service, we are going to divide that upon each one of them. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It just means individually you get your part, you get your part, and you get your part. Does that make sense? And Pastor has to teach this, because we've been taught. I don't know what you've been taught, so I just have to make sure that I'm teaching you the right thing. Is that right? And so they're appearing to them divided or individual tongues. And so you know I have an imagination, right? And so what happened is each one of them had an individual tongue of fire that came upon them. Now that really happened. Now this part, in my mind, I'm just kind of thinking that I could see your tongue, but you couldn't see mine. Yeah, I mean, I could see your tongue, you could see mine, but I couldn't see mine. Because if I looked up, it just kind of went, I wouldn't be able to see it. Does that make sense? That's just how I believe it happened, all right? And it says, as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all, what's that next word, class? Filled with the Holy Spirit. You hear people talk about the baptism, watch this now, in the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. This is what it's talking about. And they began to speak with other tongues. Pastor, the word divided didn't bother me, but that word tongues, I am staying far away from that. Because somebody taught me when I was young that it wasn't for today. And somebody taught me that it was spooky. Holy Spirit's not spooky. People are spooky. They would be spooky if they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And so people get, caught up on that. The word tongues, you got it? Well, let me just help you. The word tongues in the Greek, the Greek word for tongues is glossa. Glossa. You can probably have an idea of where we get a word from, that glossary. Does that make sense? And so it just means language. So you could really say they begin to speak with another language. That's all that is. As the Spirit gave them utterance. And so now Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave. It's to your advantage that I go, but I'm not going to leave you helpless. I'm going to send you another comforter. Not only is he going to be with you, he's going to be in you. Jesus dies. He sheds his blood. You got it. He comes back and shows up for a few days. Y'all know that, right? And as he comes up and shows up for a few days, he was doing some bad stuff. Like he was walking through walls, not even opening doors, but he talks to them and says, hey, I don't want you to go anywhere until you are endued with power from on high. He says, I don't want you to leave until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm getting ahead of myself on purpose, because I want you to have a clear picture of what we're talking about. So that is what Pentecost is. Let's answer the second thing, is what happened at Pentecost. Okay, I understand, Pentecost means 50. It's the fulfillment, of the Feast of Pentecost. I'm kind of getting all those other things, but what actually happened at Pentecost? Now go with me to Acts, the second chapter and the fifth verse. They're going to put it up on the screen. Acts, the second chapter and the fifth verse. Do you like learning? Because I love teaching that. Amen. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So that means that you've got people that come from every nation, every tongue, because the word tongue just means every language, all right? He says, verse 6, and when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are now all these who speak Galileans? Now, if you don't understand this scripture, you think, well, that's no big deal. No, you've got all these people coming from all over, and the Galileans were known as the ones that were uneducated, that were downtrodden, those kind of things. And so you got people from different areas. You got Persia or wherever, you know, and you know, some people that have higher education and more money. And they're like, wait a minute, how in the world are the Galileans able to speak a language? And let's keep the reading. And how is it that we hear each other in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues. What's another word for that? Language, the wonderful works of God. And they're like, how in the world could they do that? Well, the only God. So there were people gathered together from all nations that had different languages, and the disciples began to speak in this heavenly language, and they were able to understand what they were saying. All right? So let me give you a picture of heaven. What it looked like that day is a picture of heaven. Every tribe, every tongue, every language, every nation, all speaking one language, praising God. That's what it's going to look like. So let me just tell you, it's going to be some of everybody in heaven. So that's why it's important that we love everybody. Does that make sense? You got it? When we were a little kid, didn't they teach us red and yellow, black and white? They are precious in the sight. It's going to be red people and black people and white people and yellow people and orange people and purple people. Everybody's going to be there. All right? And they're all going to have one language praising God. Does that make sense? All right? And the original Pentecost, okay, this is when with Moses and the law, listen to this. The original Pentecost, cloud descends. Cloud is representation of the Holy Spirit. We know that, right? Cloud descends, really cloud and fire. Cloud by day, fire by night, that represents Holy Spirit. And so cloud descends, all right, original day with Moses. Loud noise, that happened. Fire, that happened. 3,000 people die, and God writes the law on the tablets of stone. That's what happened in the original Pentecost. Now, on the fulfillment of Pentecost, loud sound, fire, 3,000 people get saved, and God writes the law on the tablets of their flesh, on the tablets of their heart, because you have to understand that he understood that the only way, watch this, the only way to really live out this Christian life victoriously is with the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so he's there to lead me, he's there to guide me, he's there to help me, he's there to correct me, he's there to check me, and just like you want him to lead you, and just like you want him to guide you, and just like you want him to comfort you, you also should want him to correct you when you get off. Isn't that right? Yeah, because whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Does that make sense? So we don't look at correction as a bad thing, but we look at it as a good thing. And so he wants to lead us, and he wants to guide us, and he wants to help us. And so the Holy Spirit will say, don't do that, or do that, or don't go there, or don't say that. You know, or you'll go off on somebody in the grocery store, and then you'll get in your car, and he'll say, now, you know that wasn't right. Now, you did not represent the Father at all by doing that. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so he begins to lead us. He begins us to guide us. And he begins to help us in every area, in the good areas and in the challenging areas of our lives. You got it? You have to understand that it is, I don't have time to go to it, but the Bible says that the only thing that grieves the Holy Spirit is sin. And watch this. And the only reason the Holy Spirit gets grieved when we sin, watch this now, is because when you sin, you lose intimacy or closeness with the Holy Spirit. Let me see if I can't explain something to you. We grieve only when somebody passes away that we knew that we had a relationship with. Am I right about it? Now, I'm not knocking death because I know it's a simple, a very sensitive subject, so please don't take this the wrong way. But if, you know, if you don't know, if you're passing by a funeral, you got it, you're not necessarily going to grieve because somebody's in there passed away if you don't know them. Am I right? But you grieve when, watch this, when there's a loss of intimacy or closeness with somebody that you had a relationship with. Well, what happens is the Bible says that the Holy Spirit begins to grieve because he says, put away lying and, you know, all those things. I don't have time to take you to the scripture, but he says, put off all those things, you know, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And because what happens is when you're doing things you don't aren't supposed to do and you keep doing them and you keep doing them, you don't realize it, but God never moves from his position, but we begin to move from our position. And now we lose, watch this now, this closeness or this intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And he doesn't want that because he wants to talk to you, he wants to help you, he wants to encourage you, he wants to love up on you, he wants to lead you, he wants to guide you. Does that make sense? All right, and he wants to help you in every area of your life. You got it? And so watch this. So if I find myself in sin, I shouldn't run from God, I should run to God. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so, you know, people, they like to talk and they like to just forget people. You get your relationship with God right and let him handle the rest. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it right there. All right, so you have to understand, I talked to you last Sunday, and oh, man, I'm going ahead anyways. I talked to you last Sunday, and I said that there's a difference between righteousness and right living. Y'all remember when I told y'all that? As I'm telling you this, you don't know this, but I've already moved into point number three or question number three, which is how can this help me and how can I experience it? So how does this help me? Because Pentecost was the empowerment to walk righteously on this earth by us receiving and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus came, watch this now, to make us righteous and put us in right standing with God. So there's righteousness and then there's right living. Everybody say righteousness. Now say right living. Because I'm put in right standing with God, it opens a door for me to learn how to live right. All right? But I'm not done. I'll explain it. So Jesus came, watch this, to make us righteous, put us in right standing with God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Has nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with works, has nothing to do with you being a good person, has nothing to do with, you know, any of that. It's because of Jesus, you got it, and his shed blood. Watch this. So Jesus comes to make us righteous, watch this now, and put us in right standing with God. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us to live a righteous life. Does that make sense? So there's a difference. And because what happens is when the law was given, they couldn't keep the law. I mean, go back and read the Bible. They couldn't do it. You know, God is telling them, tell them don't commit adultery. When God was telling Moses, they were down there committing adultery. Does that make sense? But when you, but watch this. When you, oh, Lord, thank you. But when you allow, and that's the key. When you allow the Holy Spirit, because you don't realize, but you can stiff arm the Holy Spirit. You got it? Okay, all right. Come here, Pastor Pat. Come here, Shelton. Can I show you something? Only two of y'all want me to show you something. Can I show you something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens is stand on that side right there. You stand on this side over here, Shelton. Right? So I'm going to be on the middle. So just for now, I don't really want to throw you off, but hopefully you'll get it. For now, come a little bit closer. I put deodorant on this morning. All right. So what happens is, I want a closeness with Holy Spirit. I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. I want him to help me. I want him to protect me. I want him to comfort me. I want to remind me of the scripture when I get in a challenging time. And though that's what I want. You got it? But what I don't understand is, watch this, when I sin, watch this, because I'm going to do something I shouldn't do, watch this, and Holy Spirit will tell me, hey, don't do that. You don't want to go down that road. Yeah, he ain't yelling at me. He's not going to scream at me, but he's just going to say, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. I got big plans for you. You don't want to do that. And watch it. And I do it anyway. So when I do it anyways, I stiff arm him. Right? But when I'm in a challenging time, and this is what I don't understand. So when I push him away, I push him away. You got it? But I want to have my cake and eat it too. Come back. So what happens is, he says, don't do it. Say, don't do it.
Don't do it.
All right, so he said... So I don't listen, and I push him away, not realizing that he is pushed away. But I don't want him to go away, because even though I didn't listen to him over there, you got it, now I need to help somebody, or I need to pray with somebody, so I need him to tell me what to tell the person. So isn't it funny how I didn't want to listen to him over here, but now I want to listen to him? Let me take it another lesson. Forget about ministering to somebody else. I want him to minister to me. Because I'm going through something, and I need him to help me. I need him to comfort me. So I don't want to listen to him over here. But now that I'm in a challenge, now that I'm all emotional, now that I need God to help me, I want him to help me. But I don't have to understand. Because I pushed him away, I pushed him away. Give them a big hand. Does that make sense? And the Holy Spirit is not going to make you, you got it, he's not going to make you live right. He's not going to do it. You got it? We live right because we love God. Isn't that right? Yeah. Listen. As far as I know, because I've accepted Christ into my life, I am going to heaven. And the blood of Jesus has taken care of everything I have done or ever did. You understand what I'm saying? And now I live to the best of my ability. You got it? And so what happens is, I'm getting excited, but I got to calm down. All right. What happens is, all right, so what happens is, if I stiff-arm him, I lose intimacy or I lose closeness, so I don't hear his voice as the loudest, and now it leaves the opportunity for me to hear other voices, you got it, that will lead me down the wrong road. Does that make sense? And the thing about Holy Spirit, he's real cool about it. He ain't going to make you look bad. You understand what I'm saying? No. He ain't going to lie. You know how we've done some of our kids when they were small? We give them that look, and then they look down, and they feel embarrassed. Holy Spirit ain't like that. No, he's going to help you. You got it? Now I'm just going to help my brothers and my wives. You got it? My husbands and my wives. I'm helping everybody in the room, every man and every woman, okay? So men, and we don't like to talk about sin and issues and addictions and that kind of thing, but how many know sometimes you have to? All right? Men are stimulated by the eye, what they see. Women are stimulated by the touch. So that is why sometimes, you got it, brothers, don't look at nobody else. You ain't got to say amen. I'm just going to look at the clock. That's why sometimes you'll catch yourself looking. You're like, oh, I don't need to do that. Because watch this. You didn't look upon her to lust, all right? You just looked and like, oh, no, I got to correct myself. And the Holy Spirit will help you with that, all right? Right? Okay. Because I grew up in a very sheltered environment. I'm not mad about it. I thank God for it, that kind of thing. So now I'm getting married. I'm with my wife. You know, we going to the beach, and I've never seen so many women in bikinis. You got it? So I'm all excited going until I got to the, whoa. They everywhere. So my wife is having a good time, and I'm trying to figure out how to keep my eyes fixed straight. And we're jumping. Isn't this fun? Yep, this is fun. Isn't this great? Yep, this is great. You know, I'm like, don't you look there. Don't you look. You understand what I'm saying? But the Holy Spirit, help me now, will not embarrass you. Hello, somebody. And I got to go a little bit further, even if you don't like it. Sometimes because a man, see, I told God it's almost unfair that a man is stimulated by the eyes and a woman is stimulated by the touch. Because sometimes, lady, you feel the same thing that he does, but he shows it a different way than you do. I'm teaching better than you, shouting amen. And so that is, brothers, why we need the Holy Spirit, because he will help us to fix our eyes straight. But ladies, it doesn't mean if you, for some reason, caught him just looking, look back. It doesn't mean that he was looking to lust. It doesn't mean that there was anything wrong in his heart. There's a difference between looking, well, oh, okay, you know, I just got to straighten myself up. You know, that's just looking. Looking to lust is... That's looking to lust. That's the difference. And I got to help some of y'all. I got to help some of y'all because you'll see your man looking and he'll come back over. And y'all know I don't believe in sin. You know I don't believe in adultery. You know I don't believe in fornication. But there's things that just happen. And then he'll look straight and figure, and you want to be all, I knew something was wrong. I knew, because it ain't been the same the past couple of weeks. I knew something was wrong. And you go all crazy for nothing. When the truth is, a man is just stimulated by the eye, a woman is stimulated by the touch, and that's the difference. That's just the bottom line. So the same feeling you get, ladies, wives, let's go with wives for this one, let's go wives. When your husband just touches you on the arm, you're washing dishes, you ain't thinking about it, you say, ooh, you got it.
Okay.
I'm gonna save that. We're gonna have a couple's night out real soon. I'm gonna save that lesson for a little bit later.
Some of y'all ain't ready.
Oh, wait, you do have that feeling when he touches.
Okay, all right. We're on the Holy Spirit right now.
Man, I have not gotten to where I needed to go.
All right, that's okay because somebody needed that in the house.
No, I'm serious. Because you'd be ready to go to divorce court, you got it, instead of working together and learning each other, you got it, and learning, even though we have individual walks with God, when we're married, the two do become one, you got it, and we work things out together. We communicate together. We pray about certain things together. And then together in the relationship, God leads us, and God guides us, and God helps us. You got it? But you have to be open, because you all mad. And then now that you're mad, the Holy Spirit's like, don't be mad. There's nothing to be mad about. And you in your mind, I bet he's doing something. The Holy Spirit's like, he's not doing anything. I know he's doing something. The Holy Spirit's like, he's not doing anything. And then all of a sudden, you're doing something. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'm trying to tell you, he's not doing anything. Because he's not going to get as loud as you get. He's not going to go off how you go off. And then y'all go cats and dogs. And then if everything finally calms down, and your heartbeat finally goes down, then y'all start hearing the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm so sorry. And the Holy Spirit said, had you just listened to me from the beginning, you never would have had to went through all of that. That's a good place to clap right there. Woo! All right, everybody happy? All right, so the last question was how does this help me and can I experience him? And so we understand how it helps him, helps me because he empowers me to live a righteous life, all right? Can I experience Pentecost? First of all, I'm just going to give you the answer, absolutely, all right? Acts, the first chapter and the fourth verse. This is not going to take me long. Matter of fact, oh, I'm doing good. Oh, praise Jesus, I'm good, all right? I'm not even going to take all that time, but at least I'm where I need to be, all right? Acts 1, verses 4 through 5, all right? And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Okay, so now Jesus has already been on the cross. He's already died. You got it? Y'all know Jesus showed back up a little bit for a little while, for a few days before he went to heaven, right? So now he's with them, and he's talking to them, and he's trying to help them. And notice he's still giving them instructions. And being assembled together with them, he commanded. He did what, class?
Commanded.
What does the word commanded mean? Commanded, all right, them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. To do what? Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. I already talked to you about this. For John truly baptized you with water. That's water baptism. You got to come on Tuesday night because we're going to talk about three baptisms. There's the baptism of salvation. There's the water baptism. And then there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit where you get filled, and that kind of thing. And you got to come back because I'm almost there, but I'm not quite, and I don't want you to miss it. Does that make sense? And so he says, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus says, don't go anywhere until, watch this now, you receive the promise. Isn't that what we just read? So he calls being filled with the Spirit the promise. He wasn't talking about water baptism because he said, you have already experienced that. He said, but there's another experience. There's another baptism. So the promise was the baptism. So Acts 2, Holy Spirit comes. Peter stands up. He preaches. And as he preaches, the crowd responds, what do we need to do? Y'all remember that in Scripture, right? All right. So now let's go to Acts 2 and 38. Yeah, I would love to read, Acts 1, Acts 2, but, for time. But I'm praying that you are going to go back and listen to this again and that you're going to read it in your own time. All right. Because how many know Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher? He's way better than Pastor James McIver. So Pastor McIver does as good as he can to communicate the word in a way that you'll understand it. But if you go back and start reading it, if there's something that didn't connect the dots, the Holy Spirit, in his awesome way, will take one point I said and show you something else. He said, oh, okay, I get it now, right? So now, so watch this, because we're saying, can I experience Pentecost? Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be, okay, matter of fact, let's talk about three baptisms, even though I'm going to talk about it on Tuesday. Everybody say Tuesday night. Don't miss it. Oh, y'all didn't say that part? Then Peter said, repent, that's baptism of salvation, and let every one of you be baptized, that's water baptism, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall, here we go, baptism in the Holy Spirit, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now we see, watch this, he's promised and he's a gift. So I don't have to work for him, I receive him by faith. But let's go back to verse 39. For the promise, what promise? The promise that Jesus just told him, don't leave. You got it? He says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So the promise is for us today. And watch this. So the same way, because let me ask you something, because this is what people say or have been taught. You know, I do believe in the Holy Spirit. I do believe in all that tongues and stuff, but it's not for us today. It was only for us who were there. That is something that is taught widespread. You got it? The only reason you can't receive it, you had to be there. All right, let me ask you something. How many of y'all saved? Okay, now keep your hands up for a minute. How many of you all were there when Jesus was getting nailed on the cross? But are you still saved?
Yes.
Why? For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. You receive Jesus by faith. And the same way you receive Jesus is the same way you receive the Holy Spirit. Galatians, the third chapter, teaches us, for Christ is redeemed by the curse of the law. Before it is written, a curse is everyone that hangeth upon the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the same way I believe that, watch this, that God sent his son Jesus to die for me, and if I accept him, eternal life belongs to me. I received it. I received it by faith. It is the same way I received the promise that the Holy Spirit is going to come, that he's going to fill you up. Watch this, that he's going to give you this language where you pray the perfect will of God that we're going to talk about on Tuesday night, and it's going to empower me to live a righteous life. Watch this, I receive it the same way. Does that make sense? All right. So, we got to go, Courtney. Let's run. Well, let's walk briskly. Remember, there were three feasts, right? All right, I'm closing on this, all right? There were three. How many feasts?
Three.
Okay, well, actually, we know there were seven, but there was three main ones that I told you about, okay? Because in case you're like, well, Pastor, you said seven. But there's three main ones and seven all intertwined, all right? So we said Passover. Passover was fulfilled the day Jesus died because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. So it's already been fulfilled. We receive it. We thank God for it, all right? Tabernacle, if you remember, Tabernacle was tabernacle, trumpets, and atonement. That's what they celebrated, okay? Watch this. This will be filled, all right? It's not fulfilled yet, but it will be fulfilled, all right? One day, the scripture says, when the last trump sounds, dead in Christ rise first. Those of us that are remaining will be caught up and will be with him forever. Y'all remember the scripture, all right? So get this, tabernacle, trumpets, atonement. Tabernacle, trumpets. I just love the Bible because it never contradicts itself. There's people that, you know, atheists say the Bible contradicts. It does not. It doesn't. There's not one scripture that contradicts itself. So watch this. Tabernacle, trumpets, atonement. One day a trumpet will sound and there will be a judgment. And I taught you on the judgments last year. And I'm going to actually do that again because I believe that that's something I need to teach you every year, even if it's just one or two lessons so you have an understanding. So one day a trumpet will sound. There's trumpets. And there will be a judgment, but because of the atonement, there's atonement, we're going to get the tabernacle with God for all of eternity. So we see that the tabernacle, wait a minute. So Passover was fulfilled. We see that the tabernacle is going to be fulfilled because we all believe Jesus is coming back. And my question is, how can the Passover be fulfilled? How can tabernacle be fulfilled? But you want me to believe that because I wasn't there, that Pentecost can't be fulfilled. And so it's erroneous thinking. And so I want you to know that you can be filled just like the disciples were filled. Because he said the promise was to you and to your children and to those that were afar off. And when he references far off, he was talking about James MacIver. Because one day I was far off. And not only was he talking about me, but he was talking about you. Because one day we were all afar off. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. There's a few people that have to move, but beyond those that have to move, if you can please